Oh, we'll have some fun this morning, okay? Not going to be boring. But before, thank you, Dennis, for speaking up. Judith is actually sharing next week. And Judith is the author of a phenomenal book called Mind Traps that has really blessed my wife. Yes. So she's got a lot of, she's a wealth, what is it? She's a vault of wisdom and experience. And she wants to open that vault to share. Is that correct? All right. Hey, guys. You'll have to forgive me because when I do chapel for the kids, I have fun. And when we have fun, we talk about this. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Word. It's a good book. You know this is the bestseller. Pastor Mike and I went with Andy to Ridgecrest. So it was Andy, Pastor Mike, and I. We went, we're part of that prayer house out there. And I would encourage you to go if you can. Anytime you're passing through Ridgecrest, it's typically not a destination resort or destination town. However, that prayer house is on fire. It is so powerful there. You walk into the room and you just get, oh, Lord, you're here. And then you walk into the next room. Oh, you're even here. And then the next room. Oh, they have a prayer room with post-it notes. And you sit on this little bench and you put your prayer on a post-it, your prayer request. And then if you want to go in there and pray, you've got all these post-it notes everywhere in that room for people in the community that need prayer. And then you take the post-it note off when it's answered and you toss it in the answer bin. It's cool. Special place. Anyway, while we were there, we went to Walmart because we lack a Walmart in our area. And in Walmart, we went to the book section because we don't have book sections here in our area either. So in the book section, we found Bibles, kids' Bibles to be specific, because we want our kids to know the truth too. And they've got lots of kids' Bibles, but they enjoy the fun pictures. They're familiar with the stories at this point, but they like seeing the new pictures, and it grabs their attention yet again. But Andy and I happened to notice, as we're looking for Bibles, that they're all in the fiction section. What in the world? I mean, these are the. This is the number one best-selling book in history. Ever. Words of life and truth in the fiction section. And so we took them and we put them in the other section. We took a picture. These aren't fiction. What are they thinking? It must have been a millennial. Forgive me. I'm teasing. But this book is so good and so powerful. And we need everything in it. Now, this is kind of fun. This is what's going to be a unique twist on this morning, is this book. You know in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "Let there be lights in the firmament. Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days and years. Let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth." But he says in Hebrew, they're for signs and seasons. And that would be the word moed. It's a beautiful word. They mark. What's going on in the heavens marks specific things on God's time frame, on his calendar. And when I say his calendar, I refer to the Hebrew calendar. Because our king was Jewish. Yeah. Is he still Jewish? Yeah? Okay. Right on. No, he's a Christian? No, I think he's just the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think that's what matters. So he says they set him in place for a reason. King David in Psalm 19 wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no voice nor language where their tongue is not heard. It goes throughout the ends of the earth." Night reveals knowledge. Well, that's fascinating. Night revealing knowledge. That's Psalms 19. It's the first few verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. All right, so if that declares your glory, maybe I ought to pay attention to the things that give you glory. So in this book, he references stars. And in fact, Psalm 147, verse 4 says, he counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. All by name. He knows them. When God spoke to Job in chapter 38, 31, and 32, he says, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Or can you loose the belt of Orion? Can you take the Maserath, which is the constellations, out of season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? He says this. God says this to Job. But Job, historically, in our best-selling book, is the oldest book, supposedly, in our best-selling book. So here's God speaking to Job, calling the stars Orion's belt. Have you ever seen that one? Well, I can tell you, starting in the fall and in the winter, you'll start to see Orion rising up from the east. And then you'll start to see him. You'll walk out of your house at night, he'll be right over your head. And then eventually behind the mountains and you won't see him. Come springtime. Orion. You've got Orion back there, Miss Becky? She's my slideshow helper. She's awesome. So God references this constellation, Orion's belt and the Pleiades. Now, you may not be able to see it, but there's Orion, the hunter, and he's got a belt on. He's got two symmetrical stars, one on his head, one at his foot. I'm going to start with that bright one at his foot. Do you see it? The name of that star is Regal. And it translates to, at his feet will be judgment. His, the glorious one, at his feet will be judgment. And coincidentally, not a coincidence, there is another constellation. It's a minor constellation that comes from the foot of Orion that's called the River of Judgment. I didn't put that one up there, but there's so much to go into that I had to trim it down. Orion's belt. He has one on his side. Alnatam, and the one in the center is Alnatak. Now, a lot of the ancient words and names for these stars are Aramaic, Arabic, Chaldean, or Hebrew. And there's a lot of similarities. Alnatak, the one who was wounded for us. Pretty cool. You've got Taurus, the bull. And inside of his chest is the Pleiades, the reference that God makes to Job in chapter 38. It's tiny, and it's something that we would recognize. Many people would call it the Little Dipper. It's a very recognizable cluster because it's such a close cluster of stars. The Pleiades is seven stars, also known as the seven sisters. Well, I've heard it said, and I've read it too, that interestingly enough, the belt of Orion and the Pleiades happen to be on the same planar, distal planar level, which would be like, you know, you look in space, you don't see the depth. You don't know how far one is from the other. One's closer, one's farther. We think that the brighter ones are closer, but oftentimes the brighter ones can be further away, but they're just so darn big that it's deceptive. Well, Orion's belt and the Pleiades happen to be on the same like level, same plane. It's like if I roll a ball back to Patty Bell from the belt to the Pleiades. It's on the same level. Who would know that back then? I know who knows it. You know him too. His name is the King of Kings, and he lives in you. It's pretty cool how he did that. Now, this is fascinating. Taurus, the bull. In ancient Egypt and the ancient world and in Babylon, Mesopotamia, and so on, bulls were worshipped. We still see that today in India and Nepal. Bulls and cows are worshipped. Now, there's statues, ancient antiquities that display idols of bulls. But God's so cool. In his best-selling book in Numbers 24, verse 8, he says, he hath, as it were, the strength of an ox. Because God's powerful. He has the strength of an ox. He's powerful. You see, in that day, you needed an ox. You needed a cow because that's how you'd live. You know how. You drink the milk from the cattle of the same bovine ilk. Sorry, I was rhyming. I'm trying to lighten up these faces here. Where was I?
Bovine.
Oh, bovine, thank you. So these were worshipped. Cattle was worshipped back then. And there's a lot of depictions of a cow with the sun between its horns, these statues. These are old things, antiquities, that they dig up in archaeological finds. What did the Israelites worship when Moses was having a radical encounter?
Golden calf.
Why would they worship a cow, a calf? It's crazy. Why do you choose a cow of all animals? I mean, wouldn't it be cool to pick a lion or something instead of a cow? But by an ox comes much increase, right? And so their lives were dependent upon oxen and cattle. That's what determined your wealth and status was cattle. And so you worshipped the cattle because of it. But God has more strength than an ox. So it's interesting in this picture. Here's the hunter who has stars in him referring to the coming Messiah. Not trying to knock down the ox, the idols that we worship. Fascinating?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you go to, pick one, Becky. How's that? Let's go to the ark. Did you know that in the heavens, there's a constellation of an ark, a boat? Yeah. And so you'll get to see this in a moment. This program is called Stellarium. Stellarium is a free program you can download on your computer. And it's fascinating because it's not astrology. It's not pagan. It's not about us. It's the astronomy. It's the artwork that God created to depict the story of creation and redemption. So let's be clear on that. I am not an astrologer, but I appreciate the creation that gives glory to God. So right here, well, I think we have another picture, right, Becky? Yeah, there should be one more. Maybe a better or bigger picture. So there's an ark, a ship in the heavens, a constellation of a ship. Night unto night reveals knowledge. Well, why would there be a ship? And with that ship, why would there be a turtle dove in front of the ship with an olive branch in its mouth? Yeah, the dove is Columba. Columba is the constellation, the dove, happens to be right in front of this ark. Did you know that was there? Yes. Let me get a stick. I needed a laser pointer. But Mike asked me this morning if I'd share, so I couldn't order one. A dove with an olive branch. Isn't that cool? That's in the heavens. That goes throughout the ends of the earth. 365 days of the year. A story is depicted that gives glory to the Lord. Because like David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Would you like to see another one?
Yeah, what's the thing in front of the ark?
This is Canis Majoris. It's huge. Do you know what Canis? Oh, I don't know if I have that one on my notes. I might have that one in my notes. But what that means is also really neat. But we'll get there. Hang tight. Now that you've seen it. Okay. Next one is the one with the eagle, please.
Good job, Becky.
Thank you. I know. So David said it. Now, how would you know? Remember Psalm 91, David says. Actually, let's go there because it's just so beautiful. And I'll read it for you. It's out of a bestseller, as you know. Psalms 91. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. This is one cluster. Now, David hung out in the desert a lot. He got to see this stuff. He didn't hang out in the desert by Los Angeles with light pollution. And in fact, his setting was even better than our setting in Crowley. And so in this one picture, you see what King David is saying. He shall be your shield and buckler. He shall protect you from the arrow that flies by day and the pestilence that walks around at night. Now, when he says pestilence, we think of bugs and viruses, but he says pestilence that walks around at night. They had jackals. They had mountain lions. They had bears. Did they have mountain lions? Wait. Okay. They had all kinds of critters out there. I mean, King David would kill the bears that would come after his sheep and the lions. And so here's the picture of Psalm 91. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. He will protect you from the arrow that flies by day and the pestilence that stalks about at night. Boom. Now, I'm going to briefly touch on this one. Have you ever felt like you were wrestling a snake? Do you know what comes after the snake? Oh, sorry, I didn't put this up here, but I'll touch on it briefly. This man is wrestling the snake, and the snake is reaching for a crown, Corona Borealis. In the heavens, the snake is trying to get the crown. But what does King David say back in this old Psalm 91, which is really cool? You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Yes, you shall trample them underfoot. And where do they belong? Underfoot in the heavens. So David, when he writes this stuff, being a man in the desert, is seeing the story of God in the heavens. Why did the wise men come to Bethlehem? What drew them, the Chaldeans? We have seen the star. We know his star. Now, though Chaldeans were known for being astrologers, they would read the heavens for their own good and for their own benefit, similar to the zodiac. Zodiac is the paganized version of what God has done. God is giving us a story of his glory, redemption. He's showing us redemption all through the heavens. And then the enemy comes and says, I'm going to make it about you. You were born on this month, therefore you must be like this. You should marry a person that was born in this month, blah, 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 blah. The horrible scopes. Counterfeits, yeah. But you know, in Hebrew, zodi, of zodiac, zodi means the way. Fascinating, isn't it? Fascinating. Zodi, zodi. Now, would you go to the temple in Ein Gedi? David, where did David go hide out at? Ein Gedi, when he was in pursuit of homie Saul. There's a historical temple that was unearthed in Ein Gedi. This was on the floor of the temple. It's the, we call it the zodiac. Now I feel weird saying that even in a church. Like, oh, look at this. But guys, it declares the glory of the Lord. And they saw that every night. 365 days a year, they saw this story play out. Now here's this on the temple floor, still preserved, back where King David would have been. Interesting, isn't it? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. Good. So, zodi, what does it mean?
The way.
The way. Now, in Hebrew, on the Hebrew calendar, we just had the Hebrew calendar, New Year, in September. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is September. You start in later September for your new year. What prominent and dominant sign did the Lord show in the heavens? Was the Virgo, which is known as the Virgin. Now, I know a guy personally that was born from a virgin, and I hope you know him too. His name is Jesus. Virgo starts the Hebrew calendar. Yeah. Now, what does the Hebrew calendar end on in the heavenly signs? The lion. Who came from a virgin and comes back as a lion? Jesus does! It's his story. Don't let the world tell you this is not his story. Oh, man, Revelations, I think it's chapter 12. I have to pull there right now. It talks about a woman being clad with the sun, with the moon at her feet, and a garland of 12 stars over her head, and she was in labor, about to give birth, and that her son would rule the nations, rule the world. It's Revelations chapter 12, verse 6, I think. Billy, did you find it? Verse 1. You got it, John? Okay. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven. Well, go figure, because the heavens declare the glory of God, as David established. A woman clothed with the sun. Now, here's an interesting fact. God speaks of himself in Isaiah 59, I think it's verse 17. He says, God, he's clothed also. You know, we're supposed to be clothed in the armor of truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, God also is clothed. He says he hath as it were, no, he's clad with a cloak of zeal. So God says, and he wears the garments of vengeance to come after our enemy. That's really cool. But when he's clad, it's referring to something covering your shoulders. She's clad with the sun. See, that's the sun, the bright one. Now, she's got the moon right here. Yeah, this was 2013. I think it's Jupiter that's also known as the morning star. Where did the morning star pass right through? Her womb. Jesus is what? The bright and shining morning star. Isn't it? It's ironic. Why would... What?
Jupiter's also the king planet.
The king planet. Okay. Thank you. That's really good to know. So here's Virgo. Now I know a man that came from one of them. This is where it gets really cool. Are you ready? See that stick? I actually brought a branch in, but I forgot to bring it up. I think the kids grabbed it. But it's a branch. Now, the name of the dominant star in that branch is called Spica. That's the Latin version of the Chaldean, which is Sima, or of the Hebrew, which is Samech. Let me tell you this. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, Samech, shall grow out of his roots. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, Samech. A king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. What an interesting name for a coming king, a branch. Why would they refer to a branch? Because he foretold it when he made the heavens and earth. Look what the virgin's holding, a branch. He's a branch. Jeremiah 33:15 says, in those days, and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Zechariah 3, verse 8 says, Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, Semeh. Same word, but the star is named in the Latinized version, Spica. But it's the branch. Is that a coincidence that Virgo, the virgin, is holding the branch, the coming Messiah, the branch? That's the only word in Hebrew for branch that refers to a Messiah coming, the branch. Here's the virgin holding the branch. Now, in her left hand is what? A cluster of grain. What does our best friend Jesus say? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will not give life. Now, I know the grain of wheat. He's the bread of life. Amen. Who came down and died for us, that we would have life. Isn't that neat? It's all in the heavens. For the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare his glory. It's a thing that makes me go, wow, when I walk outside. Wow, it's you. And it's you. And it's you. And you're in that star. And you're in that star. And you're in that star. And they all point to you, And they should. Because he was there when they were made. Now, you see, here's the conjunction of the two. Can you... So, take a mental picture. There you go. Now, can you go to the Sphinx, please? So, Sphinx in Egypt. I've been there. I rode a horse past that. It's very cool. It's very hot. It's very hot and cool. Yeah, I tried to give money to some guy and get something, but Egypt me. Yeah. Get it? Bad joke? A sigh. Okay, anyway. So Sphinx. Sphinx means to join together. Sphinx. It's the head of a woman and the body of a lion. Now that you have a mental picture of that last slide, you're joining together the season, referring to an important time. Now, historically, also, Jesus would have been born in the fall, which is about this time. Why was it so important to put the head of the woman and the body of a lion to join together, to kind of earmark a time frame, a season? I don't know, but I think it's fascinating. It causes me to think, ponder, and wonder. But Sphinx is to join together. So Zodi, the way. From Virgo to the lion, you see the glory of God depicted throughout the heavens. Now we have another one, right? What was the other one? I'm trying to remember. Maybe that was it, right? Okay, that's it. Good, I had to narrow it down. But First Corinthians 15:14 says, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the stars differ from one another in their splendor. Amos chapter 5, verse 8 says, he who made the Pleiades, remember, he made them, and he calls them by name, as it says in Psalm 147, verse 4. Now he who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. That's the Lord. He's the one that did it. Daniel 12:3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And so there, this is the wow factor. He gives us this story to show us his glory. And then he says that we now shine like his brightness to lead many to glory for him. He references the stars, which are beautiful and glorious, and tell his story, and calls us like the stars. Beautiful and glorious to tell his story. Actually, you just reminded me, back on Virgo, we don't have to go back, but the crown of Virgo, the name of the star is Zavijava, which is another Chaldean word, which means gloriously beautiful. Zavijava. Isaiah chapter 4. Oh my, this is a good one. I just remembered it, but remember, gloriously beautiful. Isaiah 4 verse 2. It says, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. The branch of the Lord. Beautiful and glorious. But that's what he references us, or refers us. That's what he likens us to, is we're like the stars, and we're supposed to lead many to glory. I'm going to read that again. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So, circle back to that Great Commission. Go and share the gospel. It's playing over our heads every night. The enemies come to twist and pervert that. But don't let the enemy come to twist and pervert us. Let our eyes be fixed on him and his word. Let our ears be open to his spirit so that when he speaks, we hear it. And go and lead many to the kingdom. For none of the stuff that we have now, all of the fancy, how does Nacho Libre say it? All the nice creams and lotions we have. The scented lotions. Everything that we have here is going to be left here. Even these bodies that fall apart every day. Everything will be left behind, and the only thing that we can take with us are those that we share him with. So a testimony. I had my mechanic who became my friend in Mammoth. He just moved to South Dakota. I have been just pouring out Jesus to that guy. I'd bring vehicles to him so I could go over and talk to him. Hey, you just need to do this thing here. The defibrillator's broken on my flux capacitor under my tire. He's like, what? But it started with his name, Stephen. Do you know where your name comes from, Stephen? And I opened up Acts, and I read him. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit and power. He said, wow, yeah, that's good. But it was like just chipping away. And I would invite him to church, but he came the last Sunday while he was in town. And he got so blessed. We still stay in touch. He said, can you find me a good church? He said, I got to find a good church in South Dakota, in Sioux Falls. And so I'm on the interwebs looking for a church that's got the same lifeblood, heartbeat, rhythm as ours. And because he just said, I really wish I could have gone more to yours. And said, sure, try this one. And so he might be there this morning. But see, chipping away. It doesn't have to be you with a megaphone on the street corner saying, come to Jesus, you who are weary and heavy laden. Give your hearts to Jesus, and he will set you free from shame and guilt, hurt and pain. You don't have to get up and do that unless you feel called to. You can start chipping away at everybody around you that you come in contact with. Yeah, there's a checker at grocery outlet. A guy named Mike. I've been chipping away at Mike. There's another checker at grocery outlet, a guy named Chris. I've been chipping away at Chris. And one day I talked to Chris, and he said, I'm not doing well. And he started tearing up while he's scanning my groceries. I said, hey, do you eat Subway? Yeah, I love Subway. Okay, here. Get a lunch on Jesus. Because I had a gift card in my pocket. I don't eat Subway. It's just in my pocket. And so Chris is a friend now too, who's getting to encounter the love of Jesus. You might see Chris and you might see Mike at grocery outlet. Everywhere you go, start chipping away. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Even David said it in Psalm 34, verse 4, he says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are unashamed. We don't need to be ashamed as we go chip away to bring souls into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, because that's the only thing that lasts, and the only thing that won't be shaken. So all this stuff is really cool, but it's just a reminder of our mission.
Right. And speaking of the heavens, we have a blood moon on Tuesday night.
Really? Yes. Okay, so keep your eye on Israel. When a blood moon happens, something significant coincides with that in Israel. Yeah. Fascinating. Thank you. I did not know. Luke 21. Luke 21, Matthew 24, and Mark 13. I'll talk about the day of the Lord and his coming. And he references the heavens in every single one of them. There will be signs in the heavens. Signs in the heavens. But let it quicken us to build his kingdom. So with that being said, we have a big kingdom to build, and wickedness wants to take over. As we've seen, the nasty fruit of evil leadership, we're going to now petition the Lord that he would bring a revival. Like Joel 2:28 says, and in the last days I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And we want to see that happen. We want to see righteousness sweep through the land to get as many souls as we can, because the Lord wants them. He desires that none should perish. Right? So, is Patrick around, or did we lose him? Maybe Jairo, could you come up and tickle the keys for a moment? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Gloria and I were going down south, and we were going through Atlanta, and these people just hit their brakes. I didn't hit the guy in front of me. I stopped just comfortably, and the guy came behind me and hit me at going about 40 miles an hour in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
Well, I jump out of the car, out of the truck, and he comes running up to me, and he says, "Oh, man, I'm so sorry." I said, "Well, I need your license and your registration. Anyway, I looked at my truck, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with my truck. It didn't even faze my truck. It just bent a little hitch. But it destroyed his car, completely destroyed it. But he said, "I don't have a license, I don't have a registration, and I don't have any insurance." And I said, "You know, this isn't about what you have. This is about Jesus. This is why this happened, because there's nothing wrong with my truck. The only thing that's wrong is with your car, and your car isn't what's important. It's there's an encounter right now with Jesus
Christ." Come on, Jerry.
And I told him, I said, "You know what? I don't want nothing from you. I just want you to call on the name of the Lord, call on Jesus Christ, ask him to come into your heart, and you will be different for the rest of your life." And I just knew he was a nice, clean-cut kid. I don't know what was going on. But you know what? That's all this was about.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. So we're going to just start praying, one, boldness and courage. Two, that the Lord would highlight people to chip away at. Three, that the Lord would bring revival to our nation. Four, that, well, we would love the vote to go a certain way. So it's okay to ask, right? But that the Lord's will be done in all of it. Yeah, Don, you want to start it?
We should all come up to the altar and just pray in unity for this election and pray for protection after the election, because God's doing a mighty work and the demons are mad. I'm just going to say that. So Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And I just love the message today from Richard, because you know what? It's the story is already written. It's already in the heavens. You already knew what was going to happen, and you know what's going to happen going forward. And we just lift up your righteousness, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. And thank you for raising up righteous people in our elections, Lord. Brian Dolly, who's going to be the governor, we declare that and decree that right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory for these people that are awakened and quickened. And the masses are rising, Lord. And we just ask, too, the church, Lord, those that are still asleep in the church, Heavenly Father, it's not too late, Lord. Can you convict them and have them repent, Lord, turn their hearts back to you. And when they go and vote on Tuesday, they will vote for righteousness, Lord. It's not too late, Lord. It's not too late. No. We thank you. We ask for revelation, Lord. We ask for visions to awaken people. Speak to them just like you did with Saul. Lord, Saul was throwing Christians to the lions, and you said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul didn't know that it was you, Jesus, talking to him, and that was it. That's all it took, Lord. So you can do it again. You can do it again.
Lord, we thank you that this is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, that we have all been given certain rights, and that is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's in the womb and out of the womb, Lord. That every person, Lord, and we just thank you that out of the rubble of sin and all the mess in this nation, there comes a victorious church, Lord. There comes a turning, a place where our leaders, it says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And Lord, we just pray, Father, right now that the righteous rule, not the righteousness of man, but the righteousness of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood over every voting booth in Jesus' name. We plead the blood over this nation. When that blood came out of the side of Jesus and touched the ground, the land was redeemed. We stand on that. We stand on the name of Jesus, the name above every name, and that He is Lord over North America. He is Lord over every continent in the world. But Lord, let us be a city on a hill, Father God, for the people to see. Let our hands be out to set the captives free. God, let our voice be Your voice. Let us walk in love and peace and joy. And Father God, let us thank You that this is Your day in America. This is Your day in the earth. And we thank You that Your Son will be glorified. He will be glorified. He has not fallen short in any way. He is everything. He has accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. And Your angels right now are being dispersed all over this nation, all over this earth, driving out the forces of darkness, plundering the strongholds in the minds of men, women, and children. Lord, that there is such a revival coming into this earth. Father God, that it's going to change everybody. Nobody's going to be able to deny that You are not that You are God. Nobody's going to be able to deny that. No. If then it's going to come to the place where you need to make a decision. There's a crossroads in your life. And I pray, Father God, for every soul to come to Christ. For every soul. Because Jesus said, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but by through Him the world might be saved. The only way this world can be saved is if He saves people who will stand in the gap, people who will stand and pray, people who will acknowledge Him, because the hope of glory is Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, be glorified in us. Be glorified in Your nation. In Jesus' name.
That's all right. Oh, Lord, I just want to pray for the integrity. I want to pray for purity over this election, Lord. I want to pray for protection for our poll workers, for those in our county clerk's office, Lord. We pray for integrity to boil forth in their hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray for functioning counts in Jesus' name and honest audits to happen in every single voting district, Lord. Lord, we also pray for peace over this election, Lord. We pray for no uprisings from those that are for righteousness, Lord. That if those uprisings do happen, Lord, it is evil's ugly face screaming that we won, Lord. So we just pray that You would cover our cities, cover our schools, cover our places of transportation and our places of work, Lord, that this is a nation sealed for You, Lord, in this upcoming election, Lord. I just want to pray for purity to come forth from this election. I just keep getting that word in my head with integrity. Lord, it is time for things to bleed pure and to show their true colors. There's no confusion. It is black or white. There's no gray in the middle. So we thank You, Lord, that we are seeing those colors finally. And we pray, Lord, for the strength to stand up for those colors. In Jesus' name.
You know, the Lord assured me throughout the last few years of my life, there's only one word. That's choice. We have a choice to make. There's light and there's dark. And there's no other. There's light and there's dark. You're either in or you're out. Period. That's it. And the Lord has also showed me when I go through challenges and go through things, which I have in the last couple months or so, you know what to look at? The cross. Because when I look at that, Jesus died for me. So look at that cross when we have challenges and problems. He's right there. He died for us.
The glory of the Lord's light will shine. And I have an inside tip. We win.
Father God, I thank You so much for Your love and Your mercy. Lord, I pray that You would open people's eyes, that we rebuke the Baals and the Molechs of our age. Lord, that you would open people's eyes, that your light would shine.
Yes.
Father, that you would win out. We know you do anyways. So just open people's eyes to see the truth of you and your love. Lord, help us to walk in your love, to show your love to others. Thank you for the message today. And Lord, we ask that you just use us to reflect your love. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, that you reign. Yeah, amen.
Prophetic unction out of a little girl to just be free. But the symbolism of what I saw through the Spirit of the Living God was the red wave of across this nation, Father God. One nation under God. Your blood for this nation. So I thank you, God. I thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God, that no matter what the outcomes were, and the one thing that I heard lately, you do not need an election to accomplish your purposes, God. So thank you, Lord, that your purposes will go forward. Your will be done, Lord God, and that many will be drawn to you through the process. No matter which way it goes, Lord, you will have your way, Lord, in the hearts of thousands and tens of thousands of people that are waking up as a result of these difficult times, God. And so we just pray that the end result will be a wave of your glory, God, and thousands and tens of thousands and even a million souls for the kingdom, God. So bring it about, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for this church, for what it stands for. I thank you for these people who are passionate. And Lord, over the church at large, I rebuke a spirit of apathy. A spirit of consumerism and comfort. Lord, I just bring the passion of the men and women of God to stand for your truth and justice in Jesus' name. Fight for truth and justice in Jesus' name. Lord, let our hearts break for what breaks yours. Lord, let the men of this country lead their families. Let them contend for their wives and their children. Let them take back their homes from this culture, from the schools, from entertainment. Lord, quit allowing the men of this country and the men of your church to sacrifice their families for their vocation, for their jobs, for climbing the corporate ladder, Lord. Let them go back home and fight for their families. Reprioritize your church, Lord, for truth and justice, to stand for what's right and to pursue you, to pursue righteousness, Lord. And Lord, bring revival, Lord. Bring revival in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you for your presence,
Richard,
Lord.
Yeah. I have something to add to that.
Jump on in.
After hearing everything, because I believe that the Lord is bringing revival. And the reason I say that is because yesterday My uncle is the pastor at the Spanish church in Mammoth, and my sister got baptized, and we had another young lady baptized, and the Spirit, and Jairo was there too. He could testify to that the Spirit of the Lord was mighty, and we had two other baptisms of young men that were ages of 14. So I believe that there's an uprising, but also to pray for that generation that's coming and the youth now, because their eyes are being lifted, that this world is not our home, and we don't belong, and it's okay that we do not belong. It's okay to be different. And just pray for the younger generation coming this election as well, because, you know, they were talking about it, and these kids are 14, but they're seeing, the Lord is unveiling their eyes, that what's going on is not correct. And they're giving their hearts to the Lord and saying, I'm taking this next step towards you, and I'm solidifying my relationship with you and my commitment with you. So I just encourage everyone to pray for our younger generation, for the kids in the Sunday school, because the Lord is making that shift, that's showing our children, the youth nowadays, that He is the one we are to run to. He is our provider. He is our healer. And I just see it not just in the Spanish church, but here with the kids at Church on the Mountain. Like, you see them, and the prophetic is moving through them. And it's not to not discount what's coming out of the mouth of the babes or the young people. It's never too late to learn from the younger generation, because sometimes they teach us a greater purpose. I'm just encouraged by it, and I know that the Lord is moving, because I saw it yesterday. These 14-year-olds weeping in the presence of the Lord while we're singing, and just, you know, taking their sweater off and going into the jacuzzi and saying, I want to get baptized. I want to serve the Lord. And so we just submit it. We just submit it.
Great idea. Friday night, 6 o'clock in the prayer octagon. Yeah. And Sunday morning before church at 9:30. Amen. Yeah, so thank you, Lord. Be encouraged. Fight the good fight. Amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.